You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until noon Thursday. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise cloudy sky expected. Lows around 25, easterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 26 degrees.
I got into this race to save democracy for our state. I mean it. Everything that we care about is on the line, and everything that we care about is likely going to come into our Supreme Court chamber.
That is Janet Protasiewicz, one of the two candidates in the general election for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She was speaking with Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media, and election night continues here on your local Civic Media radio station. And that is the story of the night. Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly moving on to the general election after securing the top two spots. There is certainly just no path to victory for Jennifer Doro or Everett Mitchell, even though the numbers are unofficial and the ballots continue to be counted. We have Maurice Shepard, you had some thoughts as we went to the break at the top of the hour. We had to take care of some legal business. We appreciate you being patient about that. What are some of more of your thoughts about tonight?
Again, it sets the stage for the general, and I think for both Protasiewicz and for Kelly, you know, they're going to have they will have a similar strategy. In that sort of the steps that they need to take now will be first secure their base. Their base, once again, came out during the primary. Second, engage moderates. Make sure that the moderates, the ones who maybe didn't show up during the primary, engage them, get them to come out during, once again, the general election. Also, find a way to demobilize your opponents, your, once again, supporters of your opponent. That in some cases that may mean going negative in terms of advertising, but can you give them something? If you cannot flip them, do something that will, again, give them a sense of uncertainty that they may think that even if they vote, they will waste their vote and instead they will simply stay home. So I think for both camps moving forward, there's something of the same sort of road. They have the same playbook. How they execute it will be, once again, different and unique and will determine if they win or lose.
I wonder, with so much outside money expected to come into this race, whether the candidates can really control the message or will it fall into the hands of those people paying for the television advertisements and the social media messages that we can expect in the next 42 days? It's going to be an action-packed 42 days.
If they want to win, they will control their message. I mean, that's a great question. That's a great question. And that's the difference between, I hate to sound harsh about it, but winners and losers. You know, you have to get out there first. Again, even for someone like Donald Trump, love him or hate him, Trump understood that the first thing you have to do is define your opponent. Once you define them, you have the upper hand from that point, and then you move on. So, again, he didn't always do it in the most gracious way, but he was very effective at it.
Todd Albaugh, you were looking at the numbers. What do you see? What stands out to you?
This is a really interesting observation from former State Representative Joe Handrick in his reporting tonight. Looking, this is about 20 minutes old now, but still, I think, pertinent. Right now, two conservatives account for about 46% of the total votes cast. Two liberals account for 54% of the votes cast. Back in 2020, in the primary breakdown then, it was roughly 50-50 back between the conservatives and the liberals back just 3 years ago. So we'll see what these still, you know, numbers are still out. The only county so far, what I'm looking at that has not reported yet is Grant County down in far southwest Wisconsin. But pretty much the rest of the counties are at least in the high 80s, if not 95% or more reported so far. The exception may be Ozaukee County, as Don was saying, they're at 69%, and Jennifer Doro is leading right now with 37.4, but Janet Protasiewicz is right behind at 36.6, so still time there to see whether Janet Protasiewicz can pull this out. But I think if you're looking at the total number of votes, this is encouraging, and to Dr. Shepard's point, yes, the maps and people that come out in these primaries are going to be a slightly different breed of cat, if you will, than will come out in the general election in April. But still, if you're Janet Protasiewicz tonight, if you're her team and you're looking at these numbers, I mean, you can't deny that in a base election, Judge Janet Protasiewicz won Outagamie County, which is essentially kind of just west of Green Bay, down towards, including Appleton, and Brown County. The liberal Janet Protasiewicz winning with 41% of the vote in Brown County and with 42% in Outagamie County. She's winning Winnebago County right now with 45% of the vote. This is red Republican area in the Fox Valley, traditionally so. I don't think that Tony Evers even got those kind of numbers last fall. If you look at the map across the state of Wisconsin right now, you're very encouraged tonight. If you can continue that trend, again, to Dr. Shepard's point, it's going to be a new universe of voters. But if you can continue the trend tonight into the general, feeling pretty good tonight.
I want to spend a little bit of time talking about another race that has statewide implications, and that's the special election in the northern Milwaukee suburbs, the 8th district. It'll be Dan Knodel versus Jody Habish-Sinkin. And what's at stake here is a supermajority or not for state Senate Republicans. Now, there's no bicameral supermajority. They would, if Knodel wins, it's just a supermajority in the Senate. But that's not insignificant. A supermajority in the Senate would yield a certain amount of power, would it not, Maurice?
Go ahead, Dr. Shepard.
Oh, yeah, it would, in terms of, that would put the legislative Republicans in the driver's seat, that anything they put forward, they would, and if Governor Evers basically would not be able to sort of stop them. So,
Dr. Shepard's mic seems to have cut off. So, since this is radio, we'll get on that as best we can. Todd, what can happen if there's a supermajority in the Senate but not the Assembly?
It really comes down to what they can do with appointments and that sort of thing and confirmations. But to Dr. Shepard's point, and I think to yours, actually, Republicans are still two votes short in the Assembly from having a supermajority
exactly.
there.
Yeah.
So, Governor Evers' veto pen is still very powerful, because there's just not a way right now that Republicans can override his vetoes. It would take both houses in order to do that. So really it comes down to a little bit more power in terms of appointments, but overall in terms of overriding any legislation or any vetoes that the governor would make, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference
there. So this mainly applies to appointments, and you know, we have a lot
confirmations
like that. Those were delayed during Tony Evers' first term. We've been told that there will be confirmation hearings and votes coming up. So this could affect that dynamic, I would believe.
A little bit. I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting to see that, because others made the point during the State of the State address last month that Republicans were really hoping to kind of run out the clock and have a Republican in the governor's seat this term and get Republicans in some of those seats and confirmed. But now, you know, they've realized, look, we've got Governor Evers for four more years, and if we try to delay these things for another 4 years, you know, the obstructionist label is really going to stick. So I think despite win or lose this seat, I think you'll still see some of Governor Evers' appointments confirmed, just out of simple optics for Republicans.
Yeah, I would think so. I think the obstructionist strategy seems to be backfiring on them to a large extent. Tough to say whether they'll stick with it or not.
Yeah, I think more interesting from just who wins this race coming up in April is, again, what are the trends happening around southeast Wisconsin right now? Because it's very interesting to see the dynamics of the electorate down there and who they're going to choose and what messaging works down there. I think this story, and I'd be interested in Dr. Shepard's perspective on this and Don's and anybody else, but as I look at the results tonight in the Supreme Court race with Janet Protasiewicz, absolutely, she was unabashed with going on television and radio talking about her support for overturning the 1849 law in Wisconsin on abortion and women's health. And if I remember correctly from last fall, Marquette Law School poll, we have the results on here with Dr. Charles Franklin from Marquette Law School. In that last law school poll just before the November election, Republicans in the poll, 27% said that they favored having abortion be legal in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment of the mother's life. And I think that's a very important, you know, so Republicans and independents, having that at least option for rape and incest is a big factor, and I think that played a big role in tonight's result.
Thank you much, Todd Alba. Our reporters are on the station. I'll ask you to hang on, stand by through the break. We're going to continue this discussion about what's happening statewide with the Supreme Court and the 8th Senate District with Todd Alba and Maurice Shepard. Maurice, we lost. We had some technical glitches. Oh. We hope you're back.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. My batteries, they didn't know that we were going to go this long.
Oh, no. So.
I know, that's okay. I have to go to the backup here. But in terms of, yeah, I think the other point here, just as Todd was mentioning, the particular policy issues are important. But I think those policy issues, reproductive rights and again, campaign and election laws, once again, voting, access to voting and that sort of thing, they're important. But just underneath those, they're important also because they stir up emotions in the political science literature in terms of turning people out. Part of, once again, getting people to participate in politics is political intensity, that you can support someone, but there's also sort of how much do you support them? Right? What is the level of intensity? And for this, once again, for the particular issues that are being discussed right now in Wisconsin, reproductive rights, and once again, voting rights, voting legislation, and that sort, these two, each topic in and of itself generates emotion and passion. Pull those together, you know, now you've really got something. So I think in terms of, once again, moving toward the general, the issues that people are discussing for the state, once again, Supreme Court and other races, those stir up a lot of emotion and passion, and they will turn people out. So I will be interested to see what the final voter turnout numbers are for tonight, understanding that the weather may have once again mitigated some of that. But I'll be interested to see how, once again, what those, I think they may be a little higher than expectations.
We're going to crunch some more numbers in just a minute. Don't go away.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until noon Thursday. Chance for snow overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 26. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, highs around 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 26 degrees.
I wrote every single when I was on the court. I wrote it with an understanding that the authority I was using was borrowed from the people, and that each opinion I wrote was really a report to them on how I used their borrowed authority. And so I wrote it in each of those opinions in a way that it's accessible to anyone. You don't have to be a lawyer to read and understand the opinions that I wrote.
That's Dan Kelly speaking to PBS Wisconsin. He is one of the two winners of the Supreme Court primary tonight. The short and dirty takeaway is that the big winners tonight are Janet Protasiewicz, Dan Kelly, and Dan Knoedl in the 8th Senate District. I think that would be the thumbnail, really wrap up of what's going on tonight. Although we do want to check in with our reporters around Wisconsin one final time before we send things off. And we haven't heard yet from Western Wisconsin. And it's very exciting that Civic Media is gaining a foothold in Western Wisconsin now, with news stations up and down the western part of the state, Eau Claire and La Crosse, just to name a couple. And Jimmy Cuska, if he is still standing by, he's been very patient throughout the night, but we would like to hear what numbers Jimmy has to share with us for the broadcast. Jimmy.
Terry, good evening. Great to talk to you again, man.
It is nice to talk to you.
All right. Well, I want to first update you on the county I actually live in, which is Grant County. We had a circuit court race here, and the results came in for that just a bit ago. Grant County is one of the slowest counties to report, but Lisa Reinecker and Jennifer Day will both advance in the circuit court race in Grant County. Jeffrey Erickson was the third person in that primary. So Reinecker and Day each 2671 and 2407 respectively, with both Erickson with 1268. So that's where we're at. Now, in Western Wisconsin, there weren't any big type of races. There was one very interesting one in La Crosse, where in the school board election in La Crosse, there were four vacancies. Four of the current school board all filed for non-candidacy, so they were not running again. So it was nine people competing for four seats. So tonight the primary eliminated one of those. And a lot of that came because of a referendum that failed last fall for $194 million that would have consolidated La Crosse Central and La Crosse Logan High Schools. A lot of fallout. It was overwhelmingly rejected by voters, and that brought about a number of community groups to run for school board. So four of the current members filed for non-candidacy. One school board member, after they voted to approve the referendum, actually dramatically left the school board and resigned it during the referendum approval process. So that was an interesting one in Western Wisconsin. But overall, I think the trends that you've been talking about tonight in terms of the rural counties with the state Supreme Court race, some very, very close vote totals in some counties. For example, in Chippewa County, Dan Kelly had 9 more votes than Protasewicz. So Chippewa County, I saw that Kelly won in counties like Polk County and Russ County, Northwestern, very rural counties, but very close in counties like Dunn and, as I mentioned, Chippewa in Monroe County. Some very close results there if you're just looking at the raw totals in the primary. Now, I understand it's a primary, and there's other factors, there's more context to it. But as you were talking about counties like Taylor County and some of the ones further into central Wisconsin, a lot of the rural counties in Wisconsin went for Dan Kelly over Janet Protasewicz.
Very good. Thank you much. Jimmy Kuska, based in southwest Wisconsin. Thank you much. Terry Barr. Let's take one last look at the races that you were keeping an eye on tonight.
You will be excited, as I am. I have some numbers from Racine now.
Okay, that is exciting.
I know we've been waiting all night
Haven't we, though? And
what I learned, they actually will count them, but then put them on a spreadsheet and share those after everything is fully counted.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have the final numbers for you as we were monitoring the Racine mayor race. Again, the top two vote getters will move on to April. And the very top is the incumbent mayor right now, Corey Mason. Now, some may recognize his name. He served in the state assembly and then ran for mayor in 2017. It was a special election where he was voted to complete the previous mayor's term, re-elected again in 2019. And his main focus is nothing to do with public safety, unlike the other candidates he was running against. His main thing is to continue redeveloping the downtown area of Racine. He had 3,607 votes. The next person behind him, 1,000 votes less than that, at 2,561. And that will be Henry Perez. Henry is a pastor and a Racine alder since 2013. His platform is all about public safety. So they are standing on opposite grounds. Henry was also the one saying, if anything happens, we have to get the incumbent out of office. So this will be interesting to watch as we move forward in April. And nothing has changed as far as the Madison mayor's race goes. We're at 99% now. And yes, Sacha Rhodes Conway is the incumbent mayor. She has 59% of the total vote. And then Gloria Reyes, 28% of the total vote. It has remained pretty much that same number the entire night.
Very good. Thank you, Terry Barr. We appreciate it. Melissa Kay, let's take one last look at the numbers you've been watching in central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley.
So for the Outagamie County executive, the top two is the incumbent Tom Nelson will move on with 50% of the vote. And Kevin Stern secured the second place there with 28% of the vote. So they will move on there. In Green Bay, like we mentioned, with 100% reporting, that is such a tight race. Chad Weininger took just a few more votes than the incumbent Eric Genrich. He took 87 more votes, so those two will move on to the primary. In Portage County, the incumbent mayor, Mike Wiesa, secured the majority of votes, so him and Melissa Johnson will move on to the primary election. And in the Wisconsin Rapids School Board, the incumbent took in the second highest number of votes.
Interesting.
That's John Krings, and he is the school board president and has been for 16 years. So Kathy Stebbin-Hines took more votes than him, but she has a long history in the district with being a teacher, a former principal of a couple of the schools, and the curriculum director for a number of years there. So they will both move on, as well as Mike Deary, who ran during the last election cycle. So I think he got some name recognition. And then also Chris Inda, who also ran in the last election cycle. And it'll be interesting to see. That is one I'm going to be very closely watching as we get into the primary there.
Thank you so much, Melissa Kay. Get some sleep. You have to get up early. My goodness.
3 a.m. comes early.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Don Brown is standing by at the WAUK studios in Waukesha. Don, what's happening in southeast Wisconsin?
Hi, Terry. To recap, in the three special aldermanic races in Milwaukee, it will be in the first district, Andrea Pratt and David Bowen competing in April, both from more political name families, if you will. In District 5, we have a business owner in Lamont, Westmoreland, and a city employee, not like in a director-level position, but worked in three different departments. Annette Jackson will be vowing for the seat in the April general election. And then in District 9, a retired school teacher and a current school teacher, Odell Ball and Laressa Taylor, respectively, they finished first and second to compete in the April general election. And then in the state, as we know from earlier on, it'll be Dan Knodel beating out the other Republican candidates, and he'll face Jody Habish-Sinikin in the April election. And there was a discussion earlier that you started, Terry, that in this 8th Senate district, is there an opportunity perhaps for the Democrats to take this and maybe offset some of the balance of power in the state Senate? And you know, a couple of things come to mind in Waukesha County, which is part of this. You talk about fair maps. This Senate district pulls from the four different metro Milwaukee counties, which is I don't know of any congressional seats that do that. But
wow.
Anyway, yeah. So, but in Waukesha County in 2020, Donald Trump's margin of victory was 5% lower than it was in 2016, and I think the same could potentially be said for the other WOW counties, especially if Habish-Sinikin can tie her horse to the Supreme Court race in Protasewicz. And what's at stake for women, and what's at stake for our democracy here? And again, I think because you kind of have a well-educated electorate here in the WOW, that you may have some swing votes that could potentially go towards Sinikin in that general election race.
Very good. Thank you much, Don Brown and Waukesha. You've done a great job all night.
Thanks so much,
Terry.
We have
just about 2.5-3 minutes left. I will leave it to our analysts, Todd Aubaugh and Maurice Shepard, one last time to sum up some of their reflections on what transpired here tonight.
The only thing I will say is I think that in terms of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the training that they have for, once again, election officials and volunteers, it sounds like everything went pretty good tonight. So I tip my hat to them for doing a good administrative job.
Very good. And Maurice Shepard from Madison College, we appreciate all of your insights and valuable observations throughout this primary election night. You did a lot of great things for this broadcast, and we appreciate it at Civic Media.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Todd Aubaugh.
Following Charles Franklin, a great guy, really smart guy, great person. He's the guy who runs the Marquette Law School poll, knows numbers like the back of his hand. He makes this point tonight. With 93% of expected votes in, here are the county splits between the two liberal court candidates, Protasewicz and Mitchell, and the two conservatives, Kelly and Darrow. It's a bit more blue than the governor or Senate races in 2022, but reminds us the primary may not predict April. But looking at the map, southwest Wisconsin, all are blue, trending more blue across. The only exception would be as far as trending a bit more red would be Buffalo County, just north of La Crosse, and then Pepin County, just north of that, as far as how they trend. But if you look at the map tonight across the state of Wisconsin, Janet Protasewicz has won the entire 17th Senate district in southwest Wisconsin, my former boss Dale Schultz's district, in every county, Juneau County down to Grant, over to Greene County in Monroe. That's a key, that southwest part of the state, That's where Tony Evers has either won before or he's lost by a slimmer margin than Democrats in the past. If you look at central Wisconsin, around Marathon County, Wausau, Janet Protasiewicz winning there, and of course we've been talking about it all night, Fox Valley, Outagamie, and Brown County, Judge Janet Protasiewicz winning there. Yes, April 4th is going to be a brand new election. You erase the boards, but if you look at where the progressive candidate won tonight, very impressive.
Very good. And speaking of very impressive, I want to thank everyone who joined us tonight. Our reporters around Wisconsin, Don Brown, Melissa Kay, Terry Barr, Jimmy Cuska. Production tonight from the capable hands of Evan Preston and Brian Kelly. I'm Terry Bell for Todd Aubaugh and Maurice Shepard. Thanking you very much for listening to Civic Media's election night coverage. We will have more coverage and analysis all day long tomorrow on your Civic Media Radio Network stations. Good night, everyone.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us. The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until noon Thursday. Chance for snow overnight, otherwise overcast. Lowest dip down to about 26. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, highs around 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 26 degrees.
is now on Robin Voss's naughty list.
You mean my favorite Chuckle Meister, Robin?
Yes, your Chuckle Meister, Robin. There's another merch idea. Oh. Chuckle Meister, Robin. Oh,
and then his, so much potential.
His face, his like the face he always has when he's sitting behind Governor Evers in any state address, of just that, like, you can just tell he's like, if he could be doing the squishy head thing with his finger, with his forefinger and his thumb, he would be doing it, but that's what his face says that he wants to be doing.
But he would be laughing the entire time, yeah. Which is why he's such a chucklemeister.
Chucklemeister. But Janelle Branchon, not really in favor of her party. Very conservative, election denier.
Yes.
And someone that the Democrats think would be easier to beat, which is interesting. And then Dan Knodel and Van Mobley, who I think are both more moderate than Janelle. And so it'll be interesting to see what that says about the primary base vote, the base voters in that district, uh-huh. And who turns out today for that race. So we will certainly be following that. Then some of the bigger cities that have mayoral primaries, Madison. So Satya Rhodes Conway, who is the incumbent, obviously running again, but there's also three challengers, Daniel Howell, Scott Kerr, and Gloria Reyes. So we'll be following that, because obviously our Civic Media headquarters is in Madison. And then Racine also has three candidates, the incumbent, Corey Mason, Jim DeMatthew, and Henry Perez. So we'll check in on that. Green Bay, Eric Genrich, incumbent, who I think he's the favorite, but I've heard that it's could be competitive, especially going into the general. But there's also three more candidates on top of Eric, Paul Butcher, Jane Juza, and Chad Weininger. And so we'll be following all of those mayoral races. Then also following the Outagamie County executive race. And then for the Common Council in Milwaukee, there's three different districts that have multiple people running. So in District 1, there's five candidates.
Wow.
In District 5, there's seven candidates. In District 9, there's eight candidates. So there is, I think that's the thing. There's sometimes with the Common Council, and this is probably, it's always true of incumbents, that you have a leg up because people recognize your name. They've voted for you before. So when there's open seats, it's very often that those are crowded races. And so we will be following the three districts in Milwaukee to see how those turn out, for which two of those very crowded races move on. Am I missing anything, Jane?
I think that those are the major ones. And I do want to say, I find it somewhat encouraging that there are that many people who are going out for these races.
I was thinking the same thing this morning.
I think that's a good sign, because when we think of how toxic politics has become, like, why would I want that job? Are you kidding me? So to still see this amount of interest and people being willing to live through it and go through it, I think that's great.
I was literally thinking that this morning, as far as trying to find those names and make sure that I was aware of, like, all right, which races are we covering? Who are the people? Blah, blah, blah. And thinking the exact same thing, as far as, you know, we need good people to run across the board.
Yes.
Right? Whether it's
both sides, all sides.
Both sides, all sides, local, state. Like, we would always hope that the best among us wants to do this job. And unfortunately, because of the toxicity, there's a lot of us who are like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, there are really decent people who don't want to expose their families and their friends to some of the rhetoric that can lead to threats and things like that.
And also just the headache of trying to get stuff done.
Seriously, and raising money and all of that.
I always think it's interesting, the argument of businessmen who want to get in government. Like, I'm a businessman. And it's like, yeah, but as a businessman, and the executive of your company or the owner, CEO, whatever, like the buck stops with you and you can just make a decision and like it's a unilateral, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Which is not how government works.
No.
And I always am surprised with guys who use that as a talking point. And I get it. They're like, oh, efficiencies and budgets and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's also like, do you have the patience to do what it takes to negotiate and compromise? Because you can't just push something through at any of these levels. Like it actually takes, governing requires you actually working with other people and not just making a decision.
Yeah, it's called consensus building.
Yes.
And right, you can't just issue things by fiat and make it so, you know, number one, because that's not how it works in government.
Yes. Well, we'll end on this note, because then when we come back, we haven't even talked about the big civic media news.
It's big.
It is big. And it was dropped on Friday, and we had such a full show yesterday, we didn't actually talk about it. So we're going to talk about that when we come back as far as our ever-expanding network. But I will end on this nice comment that we got on the YouTube live stream from Josh Egan. Our kid turned 18 in January, so he's excited to vote today. We made him do his own research and then talked to him about the ballot. He's going after school.
Well done, Mom and Dad. That is fantastic.
Applause all around for that.
So great.
We love hearing stories like that, especially to have your first election not be a presidential election. It's such a good foot to get off on as far as...
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until noon Thursday. Cloudy overnight with a chance for snow. Lows around 26. Winds out of the east, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, 32. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night, 27. 2 to 4 inches of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 26 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Badinair. And I gotta say, Jane, looking outside right now, the sun is shining. It's 25 degrees, so really not that cold.
That's not terrible.
And yet tomorrow we're supposed to get another snowstorm?
Yeah. We got weather coming our way. And it really is going to depend upon where you are and apparently how this storm tracks as to how much snow you could be getting. But I saw something earlier that Minneapolis and St. Paul, Twin Cities, could get 10 and a half inches of snow.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't, at least here in our corner of southeastern Wisconsin, I think we have to worry more about ice and freezing drizzle and things like that. And then as you get further north and probably further north and west, you guys got some snow coming.
Because last week, I don't know if we didn't really end up getting like 10 inches of snow last week on Thursday.
About six.
But it was you. I mean, because you drove, I didn't. It was really the visibility down here that was so terrible
was
as
awful.
Far as driving conditions. And so we will try to get more information from a meteorologist as far as what we should be expecting for tomorrow. But it's hard to believe that that's coming because it looks so nice out right now. But I will say the voting gods, if you do pray to them.
You light a candle, whatever you do.
Yeah, whatever you do. Because that can impact voter turnout, right?
Yes.
So as far as today being so nice and people being willing to go outside and go to the polling station, and if there happens to be a line, you know, it's fine to wait in it.
Yeah.
Versus if it was swapped and today looked like what tomorrow is going to probably look like, I think there's a lot of people who would probably be like, well, is it that important?
Someone else will do
it.
Someone else will vote. I don't have to do that.
And so at least we can be thankful for that.
You do not have the excuse for weather.
So you do not have the excuse for weather. And yeah, but so anyways, what we prepped before, big news. Big news for Civic Media.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday evening, This was actually a surprise, I think, to us as well, but Civic Media's continuing to grow. And there has been a deal with Magnum Media, and we are now expanding to Racine and Kenosha on WRJN and La Crosse for WLXR, Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. And that is very exciting.
We're going to be really busy hitting all these spots on our radio broadcast bucket list.
How are we going to prep for the show when each day we're going to be driving from each location?
That's called improvisation.
Because truly, and I don't think the coverage map on civicmedia.us is updated yet with the new stations, because the new station, we're not on yet, but we will be. But truly, I know when we tweeted this out on Friday, they put a picture of it, of what the coverage is going to look like. And coverage meaning between an FM station, an AM station, or some of our country music stations, which we have those as well.
Yes, we do.
How much of the state is covered by one of our signals? And basically, it's as of right now, with these new additions, it's everything except like the very southwest, so like things west of Janesville and north of like Rhinelander and north of Rhinelander, like Eagle River and Minocqua. And then besides that, like basically everything else is covered.
Well, now we just have to take over B-Town, because that's on the Mississippi west of Janesville.
B-Town.
Teeny town. It's
a
town.
It's just called B-Town?
It's called B-Town.
What's in B-Town?
Not much. But maybe there's a radio station there.
Is it cute?
It's adorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it B-E-E or just...
No, B-E-E.
B-E-E, like, yeah. the bumblebee.
Yes. B-Town.
I'm so intrigued by B-Town. And now we got to go see it.
Another spot on our broadcast bucket list.
Exactly. But it's very exciting.
It is.
And so, you know, and we're hiring. So you should always go to our website. Just go to civicmedia.us. You can check out the coverage area. You can check out all the different shows that we have. You can check out all the different stations and their logos. But you can also check out the careers that we're hiring for, and maybe you could come to work with us.
Seriously, if you like Civic Media's mission, if you like Civic Media's message, check us out. Definitely. We have, as you said, we're hiring. We have many openings for many different things. I think you'd like it.
We like it.
We do.
Well, at least we like each other. Working with us would be super fun.
Oh, well, that's what everyone's clamoring for, Kristen.
I mean, that's the feedback I've always gotten is working with Kristen Bry is a joy and a delight. And people are always very sad whenever any job I've ever left, they're so sad that I've...
You need that on a pin.
A joy and delight to work with.
I am a joy and delight to work with. Yes.
Chucklemeister. all right. Well, speaking of the weather and the weather that up north is going to get, the Berkey is this week.
It is.
And we are going to be talking to a representative of the Berkey when we come back on the top of the next hour. Blair Flickinger, who's the marketing director for the Birkenbeiner Ski Foundation, is going to join us, because I've never been to the Berkey.
I haven't either.
I have one of my good friends that I grew up with, his family has been doing it like his entire life.
No,
I think
kidding.
His dad has been doing it way before he even had kids.
Wow.
So this is like an institution for them. But I texted him this morning and I said, hey, we're talking about the Berkey today. And he wrote back jokingly that he was a little disappointed I didn't ask him to come on and talk about the Berkey. But the reminder that he's a little concerned about how much snow that's going to happen up in Hayward and how that's going to impact this week's events. So we'll have to talk to Blair what they are expecting and any modifications that happen when there's just 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Too much snow, as opposed to what's been a more typical problem the last couple of years, has been not enough.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to learn more about the Berkey, the history of it, what the events look like. Because this is a global event that people fly in for from all over the world. And many of us who are not cross-country skiers forget that it even happens. So that'll about do it for the noon hour for As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for the 1 o'clock no sour haha superpower funny hour or whatever. All right, be back.
The years you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media,
like dislike, block,
maintained your health,
10,000 steps, I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.